These ain't finna be popping back out, man. I was finna come fuck with you,
youngster. But you ain't got your shit together. It's like,
I'm finna just go off.
Yeah, it's like, God damn.
You think you being silly?
Yeah, you know how these young niggas is.
They already tired. They come out. That's what I was just like, whatever, nigga, tomorrow, nigga, let's do it.
Yeah. You know, we young niggas. We can move. We can reschedule. Oh, jeez, nigga. It's like, hold on. You got to think, he done sitcoms and all type of shit, nigga. This little podcast, little talk show shit be like, nigga, I'm really coming because of you only. I don't even know what we doing. He don't even know what he finna do when he get here.
On me.
Is he Oakland?
Huh? Yeah, he's from Oakland. OG for sure. Hell yeah, man.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, nigga.
Oh, my mama.
That's player.
Hell yeah. Them sitcoms, man. That's not a sitcom, though. Raising Kanan? What is that shit called?
That's just a TV show, huh? TV series.
Yeah.
But because it's not necessarily a sitcom, but yeah, it's a TV series. If anything, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit cold, bro.
That's some shit you want to do, Quan.
Hell yeah. No, for sure.
You should have been on Snowfall.
Hey,
You felt that way?
I don't even want to go into that.
I was trying. Niggas kept like bullshit. Like in your words, thinking it was cat, nigga.
For real.
They were fucking with me. Like they kept giving me a run around.
It's an old school LA show, though.
Yeah, that was giving me.
Did you try to run around from LA too? You try to get on Snowfall?
Yeah, I did something audition or like. It was right before Raising Kanan, I don't know what part of what now I came in. I haven't watched the show like this, so I can't remember what small part of what it was.
Yeah.
But I was talking about that earlier this morning, how my conversation. I'm not mad. Damson did a great job.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. I haven't watched the show, but the clips I saw, the nigga gets busy.
Yeah.
But I also was talking about. I'm like, for an L.A.-based show, y'all couldn't find
nobody. L.A. niggas. Bro, that was my issue. Like,
nobody?
No L.A.
Nigga
niggas.
Nigga out of L.A.?
Yeah.
Man.
The only L.A. nigga I could think of is Stacey, nigga, DeAndre Bonds.
Oh, okay.
That's the only nigga that plays Scully. That's the only nigga I could think of.
And that never crossed my mind, not being from L.A., I never thought of, like, that until me sitting here with y'all and be like,
Damn,
y'all is from L.A. Y'all should have been
all looking at.
From L.A.
That's all I'm looking at.
Because you know the band be hot, nigga, if y'all do a show. It ain't no bad niggas on it.
But that's why I was glad that Dub C did a damn good job with being his dialect coach.
Yeah, for sure.
But
yeah.
I'm like, nah, L.A. niggas need more because I'm like, not like that, but I'm going to talk my shit, bro. Yeah. I'm one of the niggas that give L.A. like.
Yeah, you part of the culture. But it's modern day culture. Do you feel like y'all give him a pass because it's like it's based on the 80s type shit?
It passed. I mean, I'm not mad at him. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the overall. I'm just like, my whole thing was, I'm sure there's somebody from LA that could have done it. I'm not mad. He did a great job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Damn good.
He held it down. Dub C got them together. Yeah. He got all the stuff, and he got the chops too. So I'm not mad because he got the chops,
mm-hmm.
and he learned the thing. Because I can flip this around, mm-hmm. and. I'm playing New York.
A New York
myself.
Nigga. You from L.A.
L.A.
Facts.
And so they may be saying, there ain't nobody from the South Side Jamaica Queens. But also.
Niggas ain't even light skinning on South Side Jamaica Queens. They got this L.A. ass nigga playing Uncle Marvin.
I mean, it could be that. But at the same time, I have to also consider, I'm like, well, I don't know how many people auditioned and where their chops were mm-hmm. on the acting side of it. So I'm like, Damson got the chops.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be from L.A., but do you have the acting chops to go with what it requires?
Thanks.
So it's the same thing where I was on my live earlier this morning talking about how the process, which is by the time people see whatever they see on TV, it'd been thousands of people auditioning. First of all, you got to have a right agent. They even get you that even want to fight for you to get. Get you the part,
man.
Because we'll say this for the podcast. But
no, I already started, man. It's the Cali Kickback, man. What's happening, man?
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on right now, man. It's the Cali Kickback. You understand me? It's your boy Lewis Bell, man. We at Thug Mansion, just chopping gang. You understand me? You already know we got Wasabi Quan in the building. You understand me? LA Zone, goddamn me. And we got a special guest, man. He done came back. You understand me? Uh-oh. Rest in peace, my player partner, Teddy Ray, man. He came on with me and Teddy Ray. You understand me?
Yeah.
The one and only London Brown, man.
Man,
yeah, my boy.
Ray.
Yeah,
that's
man.
My guy, man. It touched my heart, man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you came through. You understand me? once again, you know, doubling back on the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we was just talking about a whole bunch of stuff, man. Yeah. You know, shout out Snowfall. But yeah, y'all need to get some LA niggas on there, man. Yeah. That matter. But
or man, because I think they just finished the season.
Oh yeah, it's done.
Oh, it's over.
It's done. Done.
I think yeah. It's over. Yeah. So move forward, maybe, you know. But yeah. Shout out to everybody who did it. But then I was like, yeah. Shout out to my guy Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who plays my brother on the show? He yeah. did. I think he did like season one or two of it.
Yep. Okay.
So he's one. LA. So he was able to get on there. But
he from the Jays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That go jungles. Crazy.
You know where he's at with Bop?
Man, remember, stop bringing up L.A. niggas. He passed up away. They be watching this. Remember, oh, Unk.
Oh, yeah.
I fuck yeah, with all the jungles.
Yeah, that's where Malcolm
oh, for bro? Oh, yeah. Swear. That go crazy. Yeah.
So that's what I was
damn,
like.
Damn, they got a nigga what? From the jungles on that
yeah,
motherfucker?
I'm like, that's all. Oh,
what show?
Yeah,
oh, Snowfall?
Snowfall, I think he did okay. Season one, either one yeah. and two or two for sure, but he was on yep. there.
Oh, that go yep, crazy.
Because didn't Franklin have to kill him?
I think something like that.
Franklin had to kill him.
So for people watching who don't know, that's my boy who plays Lulu. On oh. Raising Kanan.
Oh, Lulu.
Yeah.
He from L.A.?
Yeah, he from
swear
L.A.
Swear I fuck with his character. Yeah. That nigga named Lulu. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, saucy nigga Lewis, yes, then he. Old mamas. Yeah. How is it being that character? Because it's like, you know, being one thing I noticed about when you on those, like, because we all comedians, you know, so we used to, like, playing different characters on stage and even having little roles where it's like, you know, movies or whatever. But like playing a role like Uncle Marvin, when you walking around, people really think you Uncle Marvin at this point. Like they don't even.
You know what? That's what's interesting, is that because I still be. So, for the viewers, people who will chime in who don't know this, but I'm from South Central LA. Mm-hmm. So when I touch down and I'm in the Slauson, yeah. Swap meet, yeah. They really be confused.
Yeah, like what you doing out here? Nigga, you must be in New York.
Buying a 3-for-1 pro club set. You know, let me get some pro. And then like a white tee. I stay in the night look and I grab a couple fitty caps. You know? So I go in there and I buy the thing. Man, nigga, what you doing here? I'm like, man, I'm just grabbing white tee. And you sound like us. Like, I know, nigga, whatever. Get a couple white tees, nigga. Yeah. Yeah.
But no. But now they think you acting when you being yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Bro, I see Uncle Marv. He acting like an L.A. nigga now.
Hey, little nigga on the dead homies. I just seen that nigga get slossy grabbing a t-shirt. On the dead homies. He sound just like us, bro.
Yeah.
He had a pro club and Chuck's on and everything.
All of that, man. So, but that's why I have to also have to be, mindful. Yeah. Of the perception of me has changed.
Yeah.
And it's because right. I don't know nothing else. I was functioning before this, you know, before the TV show. So I go where I regularly go. I'm, you know, I mess around Gardena, I've been in Broadway, I've been in Slauson. So yeah. I'm moving around because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But I do have to be aware that the perception of me has changed. So when I look in there, I can't be looking like I'm a quick lick. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I can't be looking like, no, he look like he got some. No, man, I'm in some sweats and some J's.
Yeah,
I'm
just grabbing some t-shirts. Yep.
And I'm picking up some clippers, and some oil clippers or something.
Yeah,
you know?
On my mama.
You know what I mean? So, but that's what I appreciate. That's one thing that I appreciate about myself is that, you know, that's what I tell people. I say, when you meet somebody from Hollywood or in the industry, if they acting weird, you know what I mean? First off, don't judge them on the first interaction. Give them, give them more than one. Some days, some niggas might be having an off day. You know, I'll give an example. Mm-hmm. I lost my brother. My brother was gunned down in 2015.
Sorry,
I remember I was in the car. No, you know, peace be upon him. I was in the car. Had a whole thing we talking about early before we got on the camera. How we just had these moments of thinking about Teddy Ray and different things.
Yeah.
So I had a whole moment in the car, 20 minutes, eyes blush, eye red, nose running. I'm boohooing in the car. Mm-hmm. I go into the restaurant. I'm about to go grab something to eat. Some guy run up to me and said, yo, man. And he talking about my first TV series, or my other TV series, Ballers. He said, yo, man, big fan of the show. Can I get a photo? I said, yeah, man, let's do it. Now, what he didn't know is that I had been in the car. I had a whole little episode.
Oh, mama's a whole little breakdown.
But when I spoke to him, I just gave him the moment because I understand where people are. Yeah. And it's kind of like, not that we're the same, but it's the same thing where with that Jordan mentality as far as like when Jordan played the game, he put it all on the line because he knew that there was somebody in the audience, in the stands who has, or Kobe Bryant mentioned as well, who had never seen them play. They had saved them all year long for that moment to see the play, so they deliver.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do, try to be in my heart, is when people want a photo, I'm like, man, let's come on. It ain't no things. Couple seconds, take the photo. Low key, if it wasn't for the people, even whoever that was watching, those people, I wouldn't even be able to afford to be in the restaurant I'm going into.
Facts. Come
on.
Yeah.
So when you break it down on that level, the least I can do is take a, you know, unless I'm not, you know, dashing for a flight or something, I really just try to slow down and take a couple minutes to take the photo. Right now, the least I can do is be nice, you know.
On everything.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then it'd be crazy, too, because it's like having a new addition to your fame. You understand me? It's like you don't be knowing. That shit be weird. Like, TV and movies and all that shit is different because it's like that shit be old.
Yeah.
Like, not old, but it's like, bro, we been shot that. We worried about the next project.
For sure.
And then people be walking up and be like, name me some old shit. But it's like, they probably just watched that. Like, it's some people that just watched Ballers last night. And be like, oh, that's bruh. You feel me? You like, nigga, Ballers. Like, you feel me?
I was talking about that the other night, too, which is I'm so removed from Ballers.
Yeah.
My last season of that was 2019. Mm-hmm. But it seems so past. That's why people ask me, you know, they'd be surprised to find out that I haven't watched Raising Kanan. But by the time we finish shooting Raising Kanan, I'm already in the clubs. I'm doing something else. And I'm going to get to it. I want to watch it. But I'm just removed from it already. Emotionally, you know, because people say, you know, what you like, acting more or stand-up. Mm-hmm. But acting is like, wanting your, whatever your favorite toy for Christmas is. And but let's just say it was a bike, right? Remember the BMX bikes?
Yeah, them were, everybody got their shit stolen. Man. On mamas.
Man, I'm telling you, right?
Yeah.
So it's like one of the BMX bike for Christmas.
Yeah.
But then your folks tell you, we got the bike. It's here. It's the 25th. You can open it up. We got the bike. But we ain't gonna be able to get the chain. Or the tire, or another something like this. We could be able to get the handle for it until 6 months later. So it's your favorite gift, your toy, but you ain't gonna be able to experience it until you get the handle 6 months later.
Yeah.
Right. So when 6 months later arrive, you like, thank you, I'm glad I get to ride the bike, but the titillation of it is different because it's delayed.
That's a hell of an analogy.
This nigga,
that was a bar. You sounded like a straight pimp saying all that shit. That was playing right there.
No, but as opposed to when we do stand-up, they give you the whole pack.
Right away.
You want the gift, you get the gift. The laugh is right there, so it's a different thing, man. Yep. Or even when you post, because I know you going ham on social media, them likes come in, boom, boom, people, they on it. It's an instant situation. Yeah. So that's what it feels like with the show. Is like, I appreciate it, and it's cool, but by the time I actually feel what I'm supposed to feel from it, it's 6 months later, months later, it's different.
Hell
as opposed to, if we shot the scenes and we were able to watch them at a big, whatever, viewing each weekend, that would be a little different. Months later, I'm removed, you know, slightly, you know.
How do actors get caught up in being their character, though?
You know, sometimes, you know, people don't let it go. As far as what I try to do is, I try to leave work at work. Mm-hmm. Meaning, when I'm filming, if I sound a little nasally, I don't know what I'm dealing with, some sinuses.
Oh, no, you good, Pete. That means you just travel, man. Yeah. You just moving around.
I know,
man.
Climate
These
changes.
Niggas never get sick because they ain't never left the house, man. Yeah, man. We get allergies around this bitch. You understand me? We be on planes, man.
So when it comes to the character stuff, when I'm shooting something like Raising Kanan, I try to leave it all at work. The only thing that I do try to keep with me is I don't break the accent. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on set speaking like a New Yorker. And then when I leave work, then I'm back on some, hey, let me get, pull the car around the corner. I can't be breaking because it'd be inconsistent with the work.
Throughout the day?
So throughout the months.
Throughout the months?
Whenever the 8 months
is, stuck in that character.
I keep the accent for sure. No, I don't break that. That'd be bad.
Hey, check it out, man. It's your boy Lewis Bell. Hey, Indianapolis, Naptown, pull up. Get your tickets right now. You understand me? July 16th. I will be out there. That's a Sunday. You understand me? So don't find out on Monday. Pull up on Sunday. You understand me? Get your tickets. Do not miss the show. We're going to act a motherfucking fool. Thank you. I love everybody.
But see, because New Yorkers, they're interested too. If I wasn't legit, or if they didn't buy what I was, if they didn't buy these characters, they would be on as tough,
facts,
man.
Facts.
So I don't break character when it comes to the voice. Everything else I try to leave at work. I don't bring that stuff back home.
Yeah, you ain't trying to kill motherfuckers when you get off and all that shit.
The character Marvin and I, we really are alike, minus, you know, the short temper things. Like sometimes Marvin is really quick to, or at least before he got therapy in season two.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's my favorite part.
He was snapping. You know, he was really going through his stuff emotionally. But other than that, Marvin and London really are the same. You know, we both like, you know, I'm always in hat. If I ain't got no haircut, I'm in a hat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I like a haircut. I like keeping the clothes together, like a clean car, stuff like that. So, and I'm loyal to family. So Marvin and I like to eat food too, you know, the food stuff, because people ask me about the food. But that's just one of those things you learn from acting or learn from theater, which is what we call keeping some busyness. You know,
right.
When I'm not speaking, what makes Marvin interesting to look at? Part of that is having some food, and it's just a small stuff. I'll give you another example of this. When you watch. If you haven't watched Taken 3 with Liam Neeson, and watch Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker is always playing with he had a rubber band that he keeps on his wrist when he's thinking and he's going through the process. That's the small business that you learn with acting, that they just kind of keeps your character interesting. It's just these layers of different things. It's not, because if I was just, let's just say, I could have been just the irresponsible uncle. That's on the paper. That's surface. But how are we going to create these layers so that it makes the character three-dimensional, so he's not just an uncle that just shoots guns? He's not just an uncle with a clean, flat top. What's some other stuff that makes him human? And some of that is knowing how to create layers. And that's the technique that you learn as an actor. Not just because people think it's just about memorizing the lines.
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
That's the hard part for me. I'll be like, give me the pointers. Let me freestyle a little bit. I'll be forgetting a little line sometimes.
You know, but memorizing the lines as an actor, that ain't even beginning to work. That's like somebody saying, yo, we want you to cook for Thanksgiving, and you make a list of all the things you want to cook. Making a list, you haven't done the work yet. That's just making a list. That's just the basics. Yeah. So memorizing the lines is just, you got to get them lines out the way so that you can begin to live and really be present, so that you can do things like, I do a lot of improvisation on the show, but in order for me to exist, in order for me to be present enough to know what to say and when to say it and how to say it, the lines gotta be.
Yeah.
I gotta know the lines.
It's kind of like being a comedian performer. You gotta know your set, then you can fuck around, get outside of your set,
comfortable, and come back.
If something can happen, then you can get back into your joke because you know your material.
That's one thing that I'm learning with this acting shit. Like, I didn't ever pay attention to it when I was doing skits, but when I was doing the Vince Staples show, and I noticed, nigga, like, I'm so focused on remembering the lines, my body is dead.
Like
I'm focused on that, and my body looks stupid.
Yep.
So it makes sense to have something that you could kind of fuck with, that'll give you something different as you throwing out the line. So what he's saying, it makes sense, because I was like, every scene, nigga, Uncle Marvin is eating something, nigga.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm not thinking that's funny. I'm like, that's something funny that was probably written that niggas don't pay attention to, but knowing what he just said, what he learned from theater, and that's something that to give it some life to it. Like,
that's why, you know, just not to cut you off, but that's why the whole Marvin Eaton thing was something I brought to them. And I said, yo, man, I would like to do this and keep some busy work. And it was the writer, shout out to Sasha Penn, really, he's a showrunner, the brain child behind Raising Kanan, but he was on board. And so what people don't understand is, and this is with no vanity. I ain't nothing. God was beneficent to even bestow this upon me. It's no vanity. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand. It's rare that you find a dumb actor, because to do what I'm doing, which is, it's already enough to memorize the lines, to understand where your blocking is. For those watching, blocking is where the actors move with the dialogue. So to memorize the lines and figure out where you're supposed to stand and to get the direction from the director, yeah. After you do a take, you say, man, you know, Quan, we want you to do this. Lewis, we want you to stand like that and do that. So remember where you're supposed to stand and how you're supposed to stand on top of the notes that they give you.
That's already
enough.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing, I just added another set of pressure, a weight on myself, which I welcome by eating. Because every time I decide, let's say, if it's some chips in the scene, that bag got to be held the same way. I got to eat the chip in the same way at the same time every time, on top of the lines, the emotions, understanding where the light is, being in the light, because you stand a couple centimeters to the right, you're going to be in the dark, you're going to be in the shadow, just all of that kind of thing, and also being tapped in emotionally.
Damn.
It's very technical. Mm-hmm. People think, Marvin just eating. He just be eating all the time. And Marvin's not eating all the time. It's very... It's very methodical.
You can tell he really be the character. Yeah. Marvin don't be eating all the time.
It's very methodical, man. It's very thought out, man. It's not just sporadic and just the, because every time I eat a chip, the bag got to be faced the right way for continuity reasons. Because right. they cut them shots up and they got to edit it, so every shot got to match. So they'll do. Let's just say, they'll do 10 shots. They do 10 shots of us all together, which is a wide shot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Then they come over, me and Quan, and they'll do, they shoot you 10 times, and then they go close 10 up in here.
Yeah.
All right, they'll say cut. We'll take a 15-minute break. They put all the crew and everybody on your side.
Yeah.
Then they got to get, shoot the shot, a camera between. The
on
both
the
of
same
us
side,
shoot
yep.
Quan.
Yeah,
I gotta eat them chips in the same place.
Damn.
I gotta give him crazy. If the scene is emotional, I gotta give him the emotion that he needs so he can cry or feed.
So niggas gotta cry multiple times.
It depends. Now that's what you. That's
because I fuck around, cry yeah. one time, be like, all right, nigga.
That's all y'all. So gonna now, if you gonna do that,
I thought about my granny and then I gave y'all these tears.
Now see, now that's where the skill is, which is. If you, let's just say you got to cry, mm-hmm. you learn to kind of reserve some of them tears. Mm-hmm. So,
damn.
if they're gonna shoot my angle this way, uh-huh. you may give the emotion without the tears. And I say, if it's for fun, if it's Denzel, look, look, Lewis, okay, you put the blue cup down. Okay, it's not what you know, it's what you can sip. Okay, boom. You do that, right?
That was a good ass Denzel impression. That was good.
Hey, look. Fuck all that. Did you notice the matter? He did the motherfucking the hand
that was on
gesture.
Point,
no, listen, y'all stupid.
That's hard.
So they'll cut it this way. It's on me.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll save your tears when they got the camera on you, because you'll mess around and give your whole incredible Oscar-winning performance on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when they turn around on you, you ain't got no tears left. Yeah. No.
Damn, that shit sound like fucking.
But I just
that's like busting a nut. You gotta save it. Hold your nut from the front. When you get to the back, then you can let it release when she gets to throwing it back.
How about
that's
this?
When you nut.
I'll give you another one. You gotta save it. Not only when you got it from the front, but after she finish, then you got it. Cause long as she get her out the way,
yeah.
That's what I realized. This is a whole other thing. What I realized is that
we can talk about fucking. I'm very experienced with that.
What I realized is this: it don't matter how long you go with a chick.
Yeah.
If she don't get hers, you still ain't nothing. But Facts. As long as you get her out the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow right after that.
Yeah.
Because even if you go an hour, right? Whatever, 30 minutes, whatever niggas do. Mm. Pause, and you get yours, and you like, man, I was in for 45 minutes. Y'all both sweat. She like, But still, I mean, like, what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. But as long as you get her out the way, even if she get, you get her out the way in 15 minutes.
Facts.
And you
can go right on the 16.
Right there. You,
she
15?
You that, okay, that's 16. Ah.
You that nigga.
Yeah.
But if you go an hour and she'll get hers, you still ain't nothing. But yeah. Anyway, so my point is that being able to understand, like, okay, you still want to give whatever performance that the other actors need so they can can feel their emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as some of your stuff, you say, okay, it's on me now. Boom, now you can get your tears geared up and you deliver.
Damn.
So that's the technical stuff that people don't really understand. But that's why you got to get the lines out the way.
Right.
If you stuck on the lines, remember I'm trying, you can't be free to be present. So that you can
that
cry,
sense,
or
so bro.
That you can tell a riff and go into a joke, you got to get them lines. They can't. You got to be able to jump rope, drink water, and know the lines.
Yep.
And now you add another layer on that. Add an accent on it.
Ooh.
You got to have the dialect.
Yeah.
On the lines with the blocking, with the food, yeah. Wearing the right stuff, and whatever it is. That's the all the. This yeah. is technical,
damn.
Man.
Yeah.
So that's why Hollywood, or you know, they'll pay you. They'll pay Denzel, Brad Pitt. They'll pay whatever to be. You want a trailer? We got the trailer. The Rock, you want a gym? Michael Jordan, you want the? When you do Space Jam, you want a gym? No problem. But when we call action, we need you to deliver.
Amazing.
We need the tears, nigga. We need the whatever it is you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to deliver when we call action. We'll pay you.
Yeah.
That's why they got somebody for hair. They got somebody for wardrobe.
So like, you can really focus, huh?
All they want you to mm-hmm. do, when they call action, bro, we want you to deliver.
Have you ever been on a set where somebody really don't know their lines and they fucking up over and over and over and over again?
Yeah, but it depends on how it depends on where they are on the call sheet. So for those listening, mm-hmm. the call sheet basically is a breakdown of everybody that's on set that day and the number of priority. Every actor has a number assigned to their name according to the priority of which they are. Meaning, on whatever show, there's a lead actor who's number one, all the way down to the person that's maybe showing up for a day. Mm-hmm. They number 67 or 100, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So on that breakdown, depending on where they are, meaning if the person is the star of the show, they may have a little more leeway, and they kind of may mess up, or they might show up late. Depending on how professional they are, depending on the ego, mm-hmm. all that stuff plays a part. On Raising Kanan, the lead actress, shout out to Patina Miller, she's always on her stuff. I mean, everybody come on set. One,
what character is that?
She plays Rock. She's like my sister on the show. She's the lead sister on the show. Mm-hmm. So she's always on her stuff. When you got, and that depends too. If you got a scene with somebody you know that's gonna deliver.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to be is the nigga holding everybody up.
Yeah.
So if that means lack of sleep, it's been many a nights. I don't go to sleep. I stay up. I get an hour of nap. Get up. I study. Because you don't want to be the nigga. All right. Cut. And you got to keep going doing take after take because you ain't prepared.
Yeah.
Forget that, man. Do whatever you got to do. Be prepared. And I would say being very prepared. Because when you don't have your lines memorized, it causes... It's a whole delay. Money is time. Time is money.
Yeah, that's
so
what I
every
learned.
Every time, every take they doing,
yeah.
You mess around and add to the hours of the day. That means the crew members got to stay an extra hour,
yeah.
whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Stars got to pay. Lionsgate got to pay. It's a whole breakdown just because the nigga ain't got his lines memorized.
Damn.
No, they can stay. Be professional. Learn
I
your
wonder
lines.
If that ever happened where it's like a nigga just can't get his lines down. It's like, bro, you fire
sure.
a nigga on the spot.
You know what?
Like, bro, it's
Marlon
over.
Brando. Here's a story I've heard before. Mm-hmm. Marlon Brando, famous white actor. Look him up. Sometimes he memorized lines, so he had cue cards just set up on set, and he was so cold with it, he was able to read the lines and still give the
eye contact and all,
the all
shit.
Of that.
Damn,
reading the lines.
That nigga had a hell of a peripheral.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Damn. Damn.
So that's one of them stories, the Hollywood stories I would hear about how he would do that. Now, who gonna write the cue cards? Not only is the nigga eyesight incredible, because cue cards are small, so he had to deliver what he had to deliver, give you the action, and be so. But I just try to, the first thing I try to do, get the lines out of the way, nigga, so you can be free to improvise, because we comedians. Yeah. So you want to be free to improvise and somebody say something funny, yeah, or you want to respond to something in a funny way.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people think improv is easy, but there are a lot of actors who aren't mentally connected. Mm-hmm. So when they try to improvise, they'll say something that don't necessarily fit with the scene. Now you throw the whole scene off because, yeah, you try to go off the cuff, but you're not even connected to the script.
Yeah. Or you can do some corny shit. Hella good scene. Then you fishy my knees. It's like, bro, that's not in the script. Like, bro, don't be trying to add your little
or you say something like that.
With your corny ass.
You add fishy my knees to a period piece like Raising Canaan.
Yeah.
Where that dialogue
don't even match.
Yeah.
So it's all of that stuff. You gotta be.
And heads up, people that's watching this out of state, we don't say fishy my knees in California. I just try to find some corny shit to say, and that was the only thing I could come up with.
Oh mamas.
Oh mamas, man.
Hey nah, but man, shout out to you for that, because honestly, with the whole acting lifestyle, it's a lot more than what the average person thinks that shit is.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot. Like how I mentioned, I be so focused on the motherfucking lines, forget my body language.
Exactly,
so
bro.
It's a skill within that. So actors got to get a lot of more credit, nigga, because, bro, you got to do so much different shit. Yeah. And being able to, nigga, know it enough to improv and not fuck up.
Yeah. And you got to be so organized. That's one thing I learned about the actors. I'm like, wow. I had to do a, what's that shit called when you read the lines?
This is what you mean.
It's like a, where everybody come together and it's like somebody write a script and then.
Table read.
I had to do a table read with Melvin Gregg. Shout out my dog Melvin. You feel me? Them niggas had highlighters and hella paragraphs. I'm like, y'all really organized. Like, but this is what they do. Like, nigga, they ain't no comedian, none of that
shit. That's why.
Yeah.
So we not like on what they already own or what they've been experienced since the, you know, Melvin Gregg, that nigga Vine, nigga, like all that stuff, and then going into the shit. So like, he's a little more equipped than us in that area, but. Nigga, whatever tips you can learn from that nigga, whatever tips you can learn from bro, that's just gonna make you better.
Yeah,
bro.
No, they real actors.
Like, yeah, usually we keep a journal, and because that's why I always encourage people, if they want to get into the TV or the film stuff, then I ain't nobody or nothing. This is all God. But however, in addition to that, you know, I always encourage people if you can take some classes, even if they're at a JUCO or you know something, take some classes. But also, if you can, try to do some theater, some sort of play. There's a discipline and there's a presence that you develop from doing theater. Mm-hmm. There's some things that you learn that you can implement when you get, when you start doing television, that you get from theater that just sets you apart, man. It's a different presence. And you learn, you know, some of those things like keeping a journal and creating a backstory. Mm-hmm. A backstory, for those watching, is basically how did your character come to be before whatever is on paper? What's his favorite color? His favorite ice cream? What time does he go to sleep? What bothers him? What makes him happy? What's his favorite kind of drink? What does he like to eat? Is there a certain walk? Is there a certain talk? Is there a certain way he like to wear his hat? All these things is the homework that you do before they call action, so that by the time they call action, your character is very developed and he's a real person. He's not just some nigga on paper. He's not just Marvin isn't just some uncle. Yeah. He's a real person with feelings. He's layered. Sometimes the nigga might be holding a gun, or he might be dealing with a chick. He might when he gets orders from Rock, he's like the little brother, even though he's the older brother. He's being sunned by Rock. But when he's giving orders to his nephew Kanan, he's the OG. And then with Lulu, they get into it sometimes, and they got a little thing. But Marvin, low key, character wise, if people really, and this is some other stuff, but if you really pay attention to Marvin, Marvin is a little bit of everyone. When Marvin is gunning down some Italians, that's a little bit of Unique. When he's vulnerable, that's a little bit of his daughter. You know, but when he's giving orders, he's a little bit of Ciroc energy.
Yeah.
When Marvin dealing with the ladies or any kind of smooth stuff, it's Lulu.
Yeah, I know the player niggas. Yeah, man.
It's all that. But when he's getting
Lulu
orders.
Lulu retired, man. Let me play that nigga,
exactly.
man.
You know, when he's getting orders, he's being Kanan.
Right.
He's like a version of Kanan when Rock is talking to him, because Rock is always the one saying, Marvin, you need to be on this, this, and that. So it's understanding how to create layers. As y'all go into this acting thing, always think about that and not just play what's on the paper.
Yeah.
Everybody can play what's on the paper because that's
facts.
Given.
Yeah.
What is the fun is in the details, in the subtext, what's not written. Can you play that stuff?
Facts. What's harder? Stand up. Oh yeah, you putting your notes down?
Say that one more time.
Oh mamas, everybody watching this, put your notes down, man.
As best you can, try to create layers. Meaning, try to discover what's not on paper, the subtext, the words. You know, if you got a good writer, if you got good writers, the script is gonna give you some stuff, but it's more so knowing how to play what's not scripted.
Yeah,
the subtext, and that's what the real stuff is the subtext.
Yeah,
you know. So, but
damn, that's raw. What's harder, stand up or acting for you?
You know, they're different monsters. Like with stand up, it's the reason that I have stand up over acting, because stand up is all me, meaning good or bad, we have the liberty to express ourselves in a genuine way, and you get the instant feedback.
Yeah.
Acting is just, you know, it's just a different monster. That's like someone saying, you know, it depends on what you do. It's like, for example, someone say, man, is it easier? Let's just say, somebody say, "Nigga, is it easy to walk through? Is it easier walking through the projects with this color on, or is it easier walking through the 60s with this color on?" Uh-huh. You're like, "Well, I do kind of know some niggas over there. They're both challenging, and depending on what you want to be on."
Yeah.
You're like, "Okay, well, because sometimes let's say you might ride around and if you know the jungles." Mm-hmm. You can navigate through them. You say okay, but if you don't know somebody drop you in the jungle, you being chased, you'll run. You be like, oh shit, I'm
it's
on the one way.
Yeah.
I'm in the cul-de-sac.
I only know that because of the Training Day movie.
Nigga, what am I doing in the cul-de-sac?
You know what I mean?
I think everybody really know about the jungle because of Training Day the movie.
Oh, yeah, nah, nigga.
Right,
my mama.
So you're dealing with that.
Turn on Nicolette. It's over with.
If you grew up over there, you realize even though you grew up over there, it still has its challenges even within.
Right.
Even within being in the hood, you grew up over there. For example, it's like if you were to go live in Atlanta for 9 months, mm-hmm. and you come back to the hood, even though you're from the hood, you gotta understand that the temperature has changed.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Sure. Hell yeah.
So
the baby like that all the time. Every time I go back home, my mommy be telling me, don't be hopping in motherfuckers' cars and shit. Your ass been gone.
Living
your
life,
you come back, nigga. You
easy,
don't know
bro.
Who they funking with.
Me.
So even though I'm from LA, when I go back, when I live in New York and I come back, I still gotta check the temperature and just see what's been going. Cause you remember, nigga, after the PPP loan stopped,
oh yeah,
niggas was on, they were pulling up.
Oh yeah,
niggas
oh, yeah.
changed me.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta know the temperature.
Yeah.
So that's why
that down there.
You just gotta know how to read and assess. So when you come to your question, not to be verbose about this, but when you talk about stand up or the acting, they both present different challenges
that's
and just
facts.
Different sides of you. So that's why I'm excited for y'all. As y'all continue to do because both y'all already do the acting thing anyway.
Yeah,
so I'm excited to see what y'all
we come
back after your movie, after your sitcom. Be like,
oh,
nigga, I remember you talking about nigga with that movie.
Hell because that's why I kind of know what you're talking about already. I'm like, my little experience in my little movie role, you understand me? I'm like, ooh, okay.
Bro.
I feel it.
And both y'all got credits already, so it's like, cool, okay, we've done it. We got TV credits, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you recognize, As you move into television and that sort of thing, you realize that if you go from being, let's say, number 8 on the call sheet, so you may not be in every episode. You might be doing 1 or 2 episodes.
Yeah.
You go from that, it's like hitting the gym. You might, you know, do 10 reps with whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then somebody add a little more weight. So you move up in the call sheet. So as opposed to showing up 1 or 2 episodes, now you every episode.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of weight.
Yeah.
Then if you were the lead of a sitcom or TV series, that's another kind of weight.
Yeah.
Then you go to a TV movie. and you realize that it's so many different levels of it. You got a TV movie that's on a budget. Mm-hmm. I did a TV.
What's
movie.
A TV movie?
Like a movie that you would see on BET
for like Christmas. Lifetime or some shit.
Lifetime or something like that, right? Okay. So you do a TV movie. I did a TV movie called.
I like how that sound.
Mary Antoinette.
I'm on a TV movie.
You stupid.
You better stop playing me like I ain't on a TV movie.
I did a TV movie, nigga, Mary Antoinette. It was me and Jason Weaver and some other people on there.
Yeah, I fuck with Jason Weaver.
Now,
real nigga.
That TV movie, we shot that in a month. Mm-hmm. But because it was a month, that means the time is shorter. Mm-hmm. Which means you have less takes to get it right. So, for example, on Raising Kanan, we may do 20-something plus takes. And we 20 shots just on me. And they want whatever they want to do. They want to get it closer, get each eyeball, each eyelid. On something like a TV movie, when it's, I think it was TV One, we in a month, we 2-3 takes.
You done.
And action. Yeah. You do it, got that angle, is the light right? So I get 3 chances. Yeah. To get whatever right. it is, yeah. I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Nigga, they own to you, and they wrap that thing up in the day. So it depends on the budget. All that stuff counts on what makes it more challenging. Because if it's something like that, that means we ain't got time for actors to be slipping on their lines.
Yeah.
Nigga, get 3 takes.
Yeah.
You got to come in prepared. And I was the lead of that. So if that means no sleep, nigga, no sleep. So that I'm prepared because everybody's dependent on you. Number one on the call sheet.
Right.
So it's that's a lot of pressure on different
shit.
Levels, man.
Yeah, nah,
One more question. This is gonna sound ignorant. Have you ever did a sex scene?
Yeah.
How is the sex? Because I never did a sex scene. And it just certain shows be looking like, man, that looks like real fucking going on.
Doing their thing.
You feel me? Like, how do that sex scene shit work?
I did a couple and Raised Kanan. One of the ones I did, the chick was on top of me, and what's interesting about that is people always asking, do you think about sex? Is it about, and sex low key is the last thing on your mind. You want it to look real.
Yeah.
You weren't about the performance because when it airs, the last thing you want it to look is fake.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, you be.
Nigga did everything good, but your fucking scene weak. Weak ass nigga.
It look, your
square ass nigga don't even know how to beat it up.
Exactly. So, you know, when the chick was, when we did the scene, we practiced it first. We got to sign waivers. Everybody, it's usually have somebody there that
like
makes
a
sure.
Sex coordinator type of person. Like
right, to make sure that everybody's comfortable with whatever it is going
to
be.
I need to be a sex coordinator. Yeah, on mamas. This what you need to do. On mamas. Let her arch her back. Then you come through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You stand me? Let her do the thing.
Human resources going to fire you, nigga.
Don't be over humping, nigga, on this scene. This is about the women, brother.
Now, what I will say is a chick that I did the sex scene with, she was the one, she said, hey, I need to be on top. And we talked about that. And what she expressed to me is that, she said, when women watch it, usually guys, they're just too, like, grotesque, meaning they're just too, like, rough. And we be trying to do the scene like real life, and she's like, it's too rough. Yeah. She said it's better
or
when
some
a woman
niggas
on
be
top.
Really active.
That's crazy.
They don't even really probably be like that, but then when the scene hit on some active shit, nigga be, it's like you don't even really be fucking
you
like,
don't
that.
Do like that.
You acting like, you know what I'm saying? You over fucking trying to show out for the
game. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's why it helps to just sense. That's why it helped to like to really be able to do it in a way to where she said, I'm gonna be on top. I said, cool. And we don't even touch like that. Like, they have, like, a protective stuff for over her body, our body, and...
Like some
example,
tape shit?
Yeah, like, they you might have a cup on, you may have, like it's like a, some sort of, like, niggas, like, some sort of, like, cloth that they put over you.
Right.
And so, it has to be, if it's shot well, then it still looks really, really, it depends on how it's shot. A lot of times... Right. You know, it depends on how it's shot. The angle's got to be right so that they can still get the illusion and still sell
it. Because is Lala on your show?
No, Lala's
on
two.
That's on the other show.
She's on one. I think she's on two. She's on the first one. She's on the
she
first.
She on Raising Power. Canaan though, right?
Lala's not on Raising Canaan.
Which is she
on regular Power?
She on the regular Power. Yeah, cause she be she on BMF. She be going crazy on every show. I'm like, damn, is she covered?
Yeah, I say look.
Her scenes be going crazy. Hey, I Mello, love everybody. You fucked up. Yeah, everybody.
But see, that's why. Again, it's just being able to keep professional. So, in the sex scene, let's say normally if we shoot a scene, let's say it's 75 people shooting a scene. When it's a sex scene, it'll be cut down to maybe like 10. They only have the people that need to be there, which is the director, the camera people, and when they call cut, it's the wardrobe people that come in. They put a robe on you
ASAP.
It's what they call a closed set. So the main thing is, just know how to keep it professional. Yeah. Like I said, people be thinking, man, do you really, your mind be how you control your mind and you all feeling? I said, man, that's the last thing you thinking about. You trying to make sure you got a good performance.
On me.
Period. But to any niggas trying to do it, man, keep it professional. Don't be unemployed, nigga, trying to do
You trying to do some extra shit.
Don't do no extra, nigga. Keep it cool, man.
Yeah.
I don't mess around like that, man.
Because it'll be a lot of them cases on you, my boy.
Yeah, man. Keep it chill.
But what I wanted to ask you was, all right, when you were doing the show,
okay,
was it like any, like, pressure upon you being on the show, like, oh, I have to perform this way or I have to do this, like, with, you know, people like knowing that you're going to be on the show, was it like any pressure on you, or you was able to be like, this is what I gotta do? And
you know, the pressure came from one, because Power was already out, so I was like, okay, we're a spinoff of Power. Is the audience gonna mess with it? There's that pressure because they already got the standards were set so high.
Yeah,
the bar was set high from Power. And then also being from L.A., he's like, man, you want to make sure that the accent is solid and that the streets mess with it.
Yeah.
Because New Yorkers are different, man. I ain't going to say they different. Like, we not different. But if somebody came to the Bay.
Yeah, culture. It's a cultural place.
And they not representing culturally. Yep. You're like, nigga, that's not.
Yeah, that's facts. Not us.
That's not us, man.
Facts.
So it was that was the biggest pressure. Once I realized that New York, damn, they embraced the show, and I was locked in. It was cool, man. So that was the biggest pressure, just making sure, because it's not like, again, it's like whatever we do is documented. Yeah. So you want to make sure every scene, that count, every line is official, and all that stuff. So you just want to be as prepared as you can, so that you can really deliver. Okay. So the pressure came from just making sure that I was gonna be this New Yorker, because I had to get out on, and my dialect coach was telling me, he said, man, that's too California. That's too California.
Oh, for real, they were saying that. Through,
oh, man, all the little words, some things that you don't give. For example, a word like, we would say, man, they'd be like, yo, can you, say something like, ask me the question. Uh-huh. And we say ask, but we really should, if I was from New York, it's more like ask. As opposed to ask.
Yeah.
You know, or we may say Manhattan, and they say, like, Manhattan. So knowing how to say
saying,
little things that
New York, you got to use your H's instead of your R's. California, we use a lot of R's. Player, hater, like, congratulator. Yes, then me. New York,
call. They niggas say cool. Like call, LA call, niggas call. It's like, nigga, you was in the core. Like,
yeah,
it's more harsher with the R. Like, New York, that shit is dope. Like how was it with that, bro? Like being able to
constant.
Learn that shit and stay in it. Did you ever fuck up?
Man, they would, the dialect coach, he would call me out on all the little things, to where because sometimes you just don't think about, you just talking, and it just a couple times on set, I'd be like, man, you improvise, you go off, and you. I say, hey, listen. I tell Kane, I say, listen, bro. We can't say bro. They wasn't saying bro back then. And I'm coming from 2023 saying bro.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, little things
damn,
like that.
Yeah, facts, right? And, nigga be talking about nigga munch or something. It's like, nigga, like, we talking about, nigga, you in the 80s. Nigga ain't saying munch.
Oh, I say, man, nigga, I want, you know, hey, Rock, give me the money and all of that. Yeah. And I say, all is too open, all of that. And call you, pull the car around, Kenan. Or the being able to, like, crunch the words down, when I do Marvin, it's more. Marvin's more like, or for example, we may, the way we, L.A., California, we may say, man, it's crazy out here how everything go like that. Yeah. Our words are real wavy and we keep it going.
Yeah.
But a lot of the dialect is, you know, it's crazy how we do whatever it is we do. It's like it's really straightforward or it's really straight. So yeah. We don't really, the enunciation of the words isn't really is what it could be. It could be something more like this.
That's why 50 sound like the way that's he fucking 50 sound. Cent like, talk, that nigga promise. Sound like he, like his shit is wired shut.
Yeah. But even that, even the different, the bros, you know, like with Jay, the words are really, you know, crazy and how the, it's really easy.
Hey, we doing a skit, my nigga.
With the vowels, how they, you know, they do their vowels, and you know, in Brooklyn, I remember there's this woman out there. I know she's at this bakery. Her words are really awful. They call it. It's like coffee.
Yeah.
It's like it's really the vowels are really there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got some Brooklyn stuff. You got some Harlem stuff and the Queens. So everything has
yeah.
That,
every borough different has for their sure. Thing, yeah.
You know. So I'm still learning that. So it's an ongoing class. So every now and again, people will say that they hear it. My fault. Okay. Every now and again, people will talk about how they hear the New York accent, but they got to understand. I was in that training was not. It's like eight to 9 months.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Train all the time.
Yeah.
All it's, oh, mama's. It's all the
even
time.
How you just said
my fault.
That goes so, crazy. Yeah. Imagine I just come back talking like a New York nigga.
I ain't gonna lie, this shit crazy, yo. Like I'ma smack the shit out of somebody, B. Keep fucking playing, son. I'ma really smack the fuck out of somebody, B.
You got what I mean?
That's how and then throw a little bass shit in there. Yeah, bitch.
That's how I felt about my nigga Stringer Bell.
Yeah.
As him being stuck in a fucking accent, I never knew where he was really from.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was just Apple, what? Like, he talked with this accent, and it really fuck you up because they can stand the accent. Like it was just Apple. I didn't know that nigga was from where he was
from. Yeah, yeah.
Just like Damson.
Yeah.
Like, my son, mom, she worked on, like, I think it was either episode of Snowfall or promo.
Yeah.
And she the one that told me that he wasn't from here. Cause like she had called me and she was like getting she a second AD.
Okay.
So like she'd be go to the
wait, tell people what AD is.
It's assistant director.
You got people that tuning in. They trying to learn what
director. Assistant director. So.
Look, you know they've been working. He got the nicknames. Second AD.
So she was doing that.
You talking about Anthony Davis? So y'all ain't the only one.
So she was like. She got the nigga from the trailer, but she was calling me to tell me something with our son. And he started talking. He's like, hey, I like those kicks, man. Those kicks are really, really neat.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that shit. I'm like.
You see how he flexed on us with the trailer?
Yeah,
You see how the nigga flexed with the trailer?
Hey, since you say that, I'm going to take that motherfucker.
I did my little New York shit. Okay, we growing.
But that shit was, I was like, wait. I said, who is that? She was like, that's Damn. I said, he really talk like that. And I never knew because of the training, like how you say.
Yeah.
I know Dub C was on, bro, to get him to say that because when you hear that nigga Franklin
stop
talk,
all that French shit, nigga.
That nigga really, he really hit some LA shit
Damson
like.
Busy. Oh, man. Shout out to Damson, man.
Yeah, that's my player partner, man.
Whenever we put this up, man, shout out to Damson, man. He got busy to represent LA like that, man, for a British cat, man. He
for
got
sure, for sure.
And that shit is crazy, bro. Like, is okay, quick question. Is there any other accent that you would love to do a movie with? Like, what accent would it be?
You know, that's where it gets interesting. I really love the New York accent. The Southern accent, you got to... That would be a challenging one.
Yeah.
Because... hold on, man. Let me shout out my OG.
Mark Curry in man. What's up with him?
Shout out to Mark Curry, man.
You go here, man.
Damn, buddy.
Yeah, so you go here.
See everybody. Yeah, baby.
Shout out to Mark Curry, man.
You already know who
he is. He's like a mannequin, don't he?
I look like a mannequin.
You know what I'm saying?
He's gonna be on the next episode.
You feel me? That's how we doing
so
it.
So y'all
nigga.
Tune in to the next episode. Oh yeah,
man.
See?
Like, come on.
Man, hey, send me that clip of Mark Curry. I'll take it, Mark.
That go crazy.
Yeah. I still watch his set from Def Jam. Oh, I still love that when he talk about staying up all night and his neighbors watching, waiting for him. He don't even know, man.
Yeah. Now, that was a hell of a moment right there. That's good. Because, you know, you get those compliments off cameras. I know you probably bump into a lot of people that give you compliments, yeah. But you be like, you be having some money. You be like, damn it, I wish I had that on camera.
Yeah. No, you know, mama. You know what's cool about this whole moment right there is that, you know, you watch these cats growing up. Let me give you this quick story. I didn't grow up with cable in my in the house. Real so nigga. My boy Luke, shout out to Luke, get well, Luke. My boy Luke was the one who said, "Come to my grandmother's house, let's watch Def Jam." Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. I was like, "What's Def Jam?" He said, "Man, it's this comedy show, Martin and blah blah blah." So I had a chance to catch Mark Curry and Dio and all these other these comics from going to my boy grandmother's house, and he introduced me to Def Jam. So he really planted that seed. A stand up, but him hosting Def Jam was one of my favorite sets on there to watch because he just got busy, man. So shout out to Mark Curry.
For real.
He always been solid, man. He's a good guy.
Oh yeah, man. You know, he's from the soil, man. He stand me town business, man. Bay Area zone, man. You know, we stay well connected, well respected, man. From the Bay to LA, man. That's what this show is about, man.
But did you see him do the Bay grab for the collar? Yeah. He grabbed for the lapel. It ain't no lapel, but he grabbed whatever he's grabbing on was there. Man. It was there.
Hey, Bay nigga, we pop our skin, man. Hey, we don't even got no collar, no shirt, and we still gonna pop something.
And that's funny because
me?
That's natural, and that's like how you say Uncle Marvin with the tips. Mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying? If they put him in a Bay movie or some shit, yeah. It's certain things that he can do that'll show like, nigga,
oh, mama.
You one of them.
Oh, I think exactly. I'll do. I play a good role in the Midwest, man. Give me a Chicago old school player, nigga, you understand me?
Oh, it's the same, okay?
Yeah, Detroit, nigga, you understand me?
Yeah.
Play, I think I know I can pull it off, man, so don't even leave me to the Blake, man. You understand me? Milwaukee, you understand me? If they make a little movie about the players, ball or something, man. Let me be one of them Milwaukee niggas or something, man.
Hey,
yeah,
man.
This is worldwide, man.
I'm saying.
Nah, and it's crazy. I love hearing you speak, bro, because when you speak and say shit, you make shit become clear. Now, I never really noticed some of those things that you mentioned with, as far as you eating a snack or whatever, and that gives your character something. When you mentioned the Forrest Whitaker thing with the rubber band, yeah. That never stood out to me until you said that shit.
Yeah, man. Go back and watch that Taken 3. The fun is in the details, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fun is in the details. And then also, on a show like Raising Kanan, man, it's a lot of good, strong actors. You got Omar on there.
Mm-hmm. And
the lead chick. She's a Tony winner. And everybody else. Joy got his audience on there. So I got to find my whole thing with that show, man. Is to find ways that I can separate myself so that I'm not lost in the sauce because we don't get them kind of opportunities. So you got to make it work.
Right.
So real quick on this one, I'll let you go. I won't take no time. But when I landed Ballers, my character was only supposed to do maybe an episode or two. The reason he lasted for 5 seasons is I gave them something that kept him interested. Mm-hmm. So when I did Ballers, man, season one, and this is all God. I gotta keep saying it. This has nothing to do with me. I ain't nobody. But when I did that one, it was important for me to develop the character in a way that made him interesting. So in season one of Ballers, by default, I became the antagonist. And how God worked that out is, all my scenes were across Dwayne Johnson. So even if you didn't want to see me, you noticed me because you was watching Dwayne. Mm-hmm. So by accident, or not by accident, by divinity, how God set it up.
That was a good-ass word. I don't know what it means, but how you said it, I know what you're talking about.
No, I'm going to say one thing about this nigga, I realized. Yeah. He said a lot of big words he loved to read, and like it'd be words that you don't understand. And I remember you was breaking some shit down when we did that panel at the Crenshaw Mall. You were saying a few big words, and then he was like, let me tell you what that word means.
the word means da, da, da.
Yeah, this nigga like, the Kendrick Lamar of this, acting.
Oh, I mean, bro, like he get busy with that shit.
Well, let's not be vociferous while we're here.
That's what it work. He's playing vociferous. You know what I'm saying? Niggas ain't never saying vociferous. Niggas like,
oh my mama.
Vociferous.
Yeah, yeah, I'm texting my phone all
that's
the
just
time.
That's just the beat.
Nigga, Mississippi. Louisiana.
He said, Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm on
crooked
my way
letter.
To
it's crooked
Florida.
Letter, crooked letter I.
Nigga, I be talking to my phone. Hey, we got a good relationship.
Hey, sorry to fuck you up, but nigga, have you ever had a simple word? Nigga, you start to say that motherfucker to get the word
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Shit, every bad nigga learned to say, spell Mac Dre. I mean, spell stupid because of Mac Dre. Yeah. S-T-U-P-I-D. Hey, independent.
Yeah.
I-N-D. I still fucking up, man. I got to think about the song to get it
I know,
right.
I know a whole lot of niggas still struggling to spell restaurant. You got to rest two hours. You got to
oh, my, what's up? Meet me at the food spot. Fuck it, I ain't finna spell all this shit.
Meet me at the spot.
But, you know what I'm saying? But, what was the question?
Damn, I forgot the question. See, we was having so much fun.
Yeah, we
I forgot
just popping
the question.
Our pee,
anyway,
yes, Timmy.
The point is
sorry
that,
about that.
Oh, I was talking about balls and all of that.
Yeah.
The point
yeah.
Is that, I wasn't supposed to be on the show, but because by how God set it up, it allowed me to play all my scenes across from Dwayne. But that's going to the core of this is just knowing how to capitalize on making that stuff, knowing how to stretch and really being prepared and working that stuff. So even with that, I did a lot of improvising because I wasn't written in the script. Mm-hmm. So I was improvising. They was writing and asking me about what to say and where we should go with the character. Anyway, it worked out that I was on be able to be on there the five seasons. But it's not me. This is all God, man. I ain't nothing.
Oh my!
I gotta say that. I gotta be very clear. This is just, you know, me being prepared. God lining it up. Yeah. You know, so
and you was just posing to get chosen, man. You was posing right and got chosen.
I say this stuff with no vanity,
yeah,
with all humility. You know, because once you know what this stuff, our gifts are not for us. You know, our gifts are not for us. Once you realize that our gifts are not for us, then you can't even. It's like who flosses in a rental car? It's not yours. These gifts are not mine. I'm glad to be a recipient of it.
Oh my
God was just beneficent to give it to me.
Yeah,
ain't got nothing to do with me.
You ain't the game. You just a player in the game.
I ain't nobody.
Man. But, I just try to make it sound good.
Hey, define beneficent since niggas don't know.
I know. Before
big
we
word.
Wrap it up, because I know it's a lot of people they didn't gave up on this episode. Because
I don't know.
They said that word.
They said nigga.
No,
nigga.
Just in the sense that in very. Regular layman's term, God was just so gracious enough to give us what we got because we could have been anything else. We could have been something.
No, he didn't hear the question.
Yeah, the word.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I gave it to you in a very basic term as far as beneficent meaning. Just God was just so gracious enough.
Okay.
Just,
I got to see when
was
Mike
so cool
to
enough,
it
went so
over our
kind
head
enough,
on the body,
so kind enough to just
I'm gonna say that. Say it again one more time.
Beneficent.
Beneficent.
Yeah, that's
beneficent.
Beneficent.
Yeah. So how could I say that to a woman? That just sound hella raw. I need to pop my pee.
After you go have dinner and y'all go have dinner, you take her home, she calls you, she said, "Man, I enjoyed she said, you say, hey, did you get home safely? She said, yeah, I got home safely. Thank you, man. You're so beneficent to share your time with me.
Ooh. Yeah. She gonna look that word up,
man.
Oh, God.
Hey, for everybody that's watching the Kelly Kickback right now, man, I'm so beneficent that y'all watched this motherfucker, man. You understand me? And fucked with us on this episode, man, with some real niggas. You understand me?
Hey, so use that motherfucker right away. God damn it.
Hey, London, man, I appreciate you coming through, bruh. You understand me?
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Teddy Ray, man. He loved you, man.
That's my guy, man.
You understand me? He had a lot of respect for you. You understand me? You already know the love is, your love is here, man. We appreciate you, man. Keep creating greatness and, you know, building up your legacy, man, and pushing the culture forward, man. You understand me?
Man, shout out to y'all.
Appreciate you,
being,
boy.
Been cool. And I want to shout out, the OG, man. Shout out to Mark Curry, too, man.
Off tops, man. I'm going to make sure you get that clip, man.
Absolutely,
yeah,
man.
That's timeless, man.
He in the room. I know you can hear me. Mm-hmm. I want him to know, man, he's always been super cool to me. I think the last time he off camera hearing this, but last time I ran into him, we was at Paul Mooney's. We was at the Laugh Factory one afternoon for Paul Mooney because he just passed away, I think 2021, something like that. And that's one of the last time I was in Oakland. I did a show with Paul Mooney.
Oh, that's raw. No, yeah, shout out.
You niggas are slow, all of you. No, no, it's the truth. You niggas are slow. You have your podcast. You think you know everything. Listen, you know it's the truth. You're slow, all of you.
Yeah, that nigga sounds just like
if cold.
If it don't make dollars, it don't make
you
sense.
You got to say something about the white folks, too. You know, Paul Mooney went hard on the white folks.
They say, the white folks. No, let me tell you this one. It's the truth, okay? White people, they're slick with their words. You have to watch them. They're slick. You know, if look, black people, we can't be racist. By definition, it's the truth.
Facts.
Hey!
Facts.
Hey!
Look, racism, listen, prejudice is an attitude. Racism is a system. Listen, if you get mad at something that white people do, is there anything you can do? All you can do is just be mad.
Hey, this nigga hard, bro. And I'm gonna say how hard you are. Cause you're doing the impression, saying words that sound like shit that he would say. But the thing that you do well, that I don't think you notice that you're doing, nigga, is when he like stutter on a word or not finish a word and go on to the next thing, it sounds just like this nigga.
Oh,
like,
mamas.
It's perfect, nigga.
You know, but again, this goes back to a lot of this. What I think, and I'll leave you with this, cause I know we gotta get Mark on here. The thing is, what I think that makes, cause people think I don't do voice, I'm not even that good. Like, shout out to Jay Farrell. Jay Farrell,
Jay Farrell
is an impression. Like, that's what he do.
And my boy Godfrey
and Aries, these people, they do voice. I do a couple voices that I do, but I will say the thing that I think makes what my voices do versus other people is this goes back to theater training. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of people might be able to do the voice, but it's different when you're able to embody.
And the hand movement, the body line, all that
it's
shit.
It's a different thing. So that comes from theater, being able to embody, along with doing, being able to do, hold on, that's not the voice, being able to do the voices and call out and make sure that it's not what you know, it's what you can prove, okay? Boom. Is that sort of thing, or being able to call? It's crazy. Really, the fact is, we're not in the same bracket, not in the same league. It's crazy.
You know, say what up, B?
It's crazy out here. You know, it's like, I really appreciate you guys and for what you're doing. It's easy out.
That's a YouTube clip. That's what I want on my page. Nigga, I want that on my page.
I appreciate it. I'm gonna get out of here. Let Mark get busy. That's my guy. I want it.
Yeah.
Mark, I got a lot of love for you, Mark.
Oh, my mama, man. We in this thing, man. It's the Kelly Kickback, you understand me? This Thug Mansion, you understand me? All places where the real niggas can go, you understand me? Ain't got to worry about the other man harassing us, you understand me? We go, man. Make sure y'all subscribe, all the shit, man. It's Lewis Belt, London Brown, Wasabi Kwan. We gone, man. Oh.